If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, April 28th, 2023. Of course, I am Tim Geddes and I am joined by my very good friend, Temur Hussein.
It's good to be here again. I forgot about the smoke and it scared the shit out of me.
You forget about it and it scares you every time. Even when you know it's coming, it can still kind of surprise you every once in a while. Delicateness to the way that Barrett blows the smoke compared to the way that Kevin does. I don't know what it is. It's just hitting a button, but I know when it's Kevin. You know what I mean? It's always the millisecond off on either side that gets you.
Yeah.
You know?
But I like it. It was fun.
How you doing, Tam?
I'm doing good, you know? A lot of video games.
Yeah. Good
to
time
think
to
about.
Be a gamer.
It's a good time to be a gamer. So I am gamer tired, if you know what that means.
100%.
Like when you're tired, but from doing gamer stuff a lot.
Yeah.
So that's a good place to be in life. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing real good. Speaking of being tired with the gamer stuff, playing Jedi Survivor is my first real experience playing a game with the DualSense Edge.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoying it quite a bit. Really, really premium, high-quality controller. I like the way that it feels. It has a nice, substantialness to it.
Yeah. You like edging.
But the problem is the edges themselves, Barrett. They kind of get my hands sweatier than the DualSense
really?
Did. The little ridges on it where it's like,
it's hard not to sweat when you're at
the ruffles have ridges thing. I get the Jedi Survivor is a sweaty game for me.
Yeah. You know? It's a sweaty game for sweaty gamers.
But I'm a little I don't know about this. And I was going back and forth to the original DualSense. I'm like, it's a pros and cons situation.
Yeah.
Are the little extra buttons allowing me to sprint easier worth the extra sweat? I don't know.
We should do a survey on what controller makes your hands sweat, because the Switch Pro controller makes my hands sweat more than any other controller, and I don't know why.
See, I feel like the Switch Pro controller to me is the one that I'm like, oh, I'm feeling like I got a little AC on me, baby.
We got to figure out what's going on here. What's the science behind these controllers?
What is the science behind all this? Speaking of science, if you get hit in the chest, it's going to leave a bruise. That's just exactly what happened, Tam. Yesterday, Austin Creed, WWE superstar Xavier Woods came through. And I want to say for charity, but it wasn't for charity. It was just for Greg's birthday. We all took multiple chops to the chest. I'm definitely feeling it right now.
Yeah, I was like, I'm impressed. One, you guys all took your shirt off on camera.
I know.
Which is like...
That was the bravest
thing
for me to do.
Couldn't be me. Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, they're going to actually allow a WWE superstar to hit him, which is one, pain. Two, unless your body is tight, people are going to slow that down and watch those ripples move.
Oh,
and
there's boy, a lot of rips.
You know what? I was like, good on you for doing that. Good on you.
Bear, would it be possible for you to bring up the video of that? you just see Greg's life change. Like, he is a changed man after that. I think Greg took four hits yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely insane. I could only do the one. The hit was bad. I will say it's not as bad as I expected it to be. I think he went a little easy on me.
He definitely is, yeah.
Did not go easy on Greg at all. But yeah, like you said, the hardest part about this was getting the courage to take my shirt off on camera, especially because I was doing it with my brother. And I'm I do not want to be shirtless next to my brother. This sucks.
The funny thing is, Greg's one, if you look at his chest, the instant it connects, everything around it just goes red.
Yeah.
And Greg's Andy is just laughing his head off.
Yeah, man. Kevin, taking it like a champ.
Yeah.
God. Cool, Greg. Straight up no selling it.
No selling it.
Very good.
And then, we'll get to me in a sec here. I'm scared.
There we go. Fair
anyway,
play for taking it.
You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to check out our entire ridiculous stream that we did yesterday for Greg Miller's 40th birthday. Greg Miller will return to Kinda Funny next week. And I'm very excited about all of that. That noise was me.
Oh.
So, Enough about all that. Today, we're talking about some video games because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we get together live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames and youtube.com/kindafunnygames to tell you about all the video game news that you need to know, including stories like Star Wars Jedi Survivor's PC issues, Twisted Metal getting a first trailer, hell yes, and more. Remember, you can also watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames if live isn't your thing. You could also listen as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGDs, where you want to go to write in all your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindafunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content, and you get to be a cool Patreon producer like Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Some housekeeping for you. A new episode of PS I Love You XOXO is up right now with the crew answers all of your reader mail. You can check that out in all the normal places. And we're continuing our experiment here after this, but before the stream, we're going to be hanging out. It'll be me, Tam, and Snowbike Mike answering all of your super chats right after this show about all the stories from this episode or just whatever video game stuff you want to ask us, or if you just want to compliment Tam's absolutely
ask me AMA. Ask me anything.
Yes. Ask him anything you want. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, but we'll tell you all about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Story number one. It scared you again?
Got me again.
EA and Respawn speak out on PC performance issues for Jedi Survivor. This comes from EA Star Wars on Twitter. Also, happy Jedi Survivor Day for everybody out there. You can go play that game.
May the
or check out our review on Kinda Funny Games Cast. I love that there's confetti that's just falling from the sky. Yeah. Like, where did that even come
from? I don't know.
I imagine.
Oh my God, there's so much in the lights.
Yeah, I imagine that might be why one of the lights is a little bit noisier today, but I imagine they're falling from the force of the fog machine, like blowing towards them, and they're starting to move a little bit.
Yeah, there's one light that has got a lot of confetti in it, and the others have none.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
Good to know for everybody. I'm going to read out this little message here. We're aware that Star Wars Jedi Survivor isn't performing to our standards for a percentage of our PC players. It's a large percentage, Cam, let me tell you what. In particular, those with high-end machines or certain specific configurations. For example, players using cutting-edge multi-threaded chipsets designed for Windows 11 were encountering problems on Windows 10, or high-end GPUs coupled with lower-performing CPUs also saw unexpected frame loss. Rest assured, we're working to address these cases quickly. While there's no single comprehensive solution for PC performance, I'm so glad Greg's not here today for this story, the team has been working on fixes we believe will improve performance across a spectrum of configurations. We're committed to fixing these issues as soon as possible, but each patch requires significant testing to ensure we don't introduce new problems. Thanks for understanding and apologies to any of our players experiencing these issues. We will continue to monitor performance across all platforms and share update timing as soon as it is available. From the Star Wars Jedi team.
Firstly, I'm supremely disappointed that they wrote this in normal English and not like Yoda speak.
Yeah.
That is a big L for
in the middle. In the middle for a bit, I was a little bit like, what am I saying? There's a lot of just words here. I'm not sure if they are in the order or not.
So I think this is... Okay, so we got nothing to add to that, right? Like, it is what it is. The PC port of it sucks. If you were to ask me, should I buy Jedi Survivor right now on PC, I would tell you no. Play the console version if you desperately need to play it now, but keep in mind that the console version also has some issues.
Many issues,
but considerably less than the PC version. I think the broader discussion we got to have here is, like, now that Greg is not in the room, but, like, what is happening with PC ports these days? Because it is increasingly becoming more frequent that a game is, like, a mess on PC. It happens a lot. And there was a time, unless I'm, like, remembering with rose-tinted glasses, like, when PC games just came out and they were the best version of the game, because it was like, you're using a graphics card that the console does not have, so you can pump out things, like, way cooler, way better resolution, all the effects are working, and it was like, if you wanted to have the best possible experience, you played on PC. These days, like, if you want to have the worst possible experience, play on PC. And it's an issue, obviously, because hardware configurations are a nightmare.
Yeah.
And there's so many of them now, and you know, operating systems are like, we're in a new Windows now, and who knows how it's reacting. But the long and short of it is, like, PC gamers are kind of getting a rough go of it, and have been for a long time now. And I feel like, given the investment that they put into it and the kind of potential of each game and how it could look on a PC, it feels like there's something that needs to be addressed there. Like, I don't know what side it comes on, whether it's development side or even hardware side or whatever it may be. But yeah, it's just disappointing to see, one, because I play a lot of games on PC, and there was a time when I would always take the PC code or like try and get a PC version of the game. Nowadays, I'm like, I'm going to wait and to see what's going on here. And more often than not, I'm finding that it's just busted on PC in a lot of ways, which is, it's not a great time to be, you know?
Yeah, definitely not. And I think you nailed it, obviously, with the wide array of different configurations people could have for PCs. It kind of obviously complicates it, and it's a lot more difficult to make sure things run on everything from A to Z, as opposed to just, hey, it's a PS5. It either works or it doesn't. But I do think, to your question of like, why is this happening more? I think it is just happening more because there are more games being put on PC. Yeah. Where back in the day, a PC game was a PC game and it ran best on PC because it was either only there or it was a port that was built from the ground up and probably a year or two later than the actual other release. And a lot of times it'd be like first-person shooters, the Call of Duty type games, Battlefields and things like that. But I think it's like a newer trend now that as PC gaming has kind of gained more and more of an actual foothold in gaming as a whole, I think we're starting to get a lot of these third-person action adventure games, the more prestige console titles on PC.
Yeah.
And a lot of them day and date, a lot of them close, but it does feel like in some ways they're not ports. It's like they're being developed alongside the console versions. And more often than not, it kind of results in none of the versions running as well as they would have if there was a focused, concerted effort on just one.
Yeah, I do. I mean, like, I'm going to reveal how much of a neophyte I am around development and that kind of stuff. But, like, these games are developed on PCs, right? Like, it's not like you're on a PlayStation 5 writing code in and design on for PCs and to execute on that stuff. So I think, like, the kind of, like, the thing that breaks me is, like, it should perform well on that PC. But I guess the thing is, like, you have to think about, I wonder if this is an indicator of where developers and publishers see the money being made as well. Like, I would love to know, I'm not saying I know the numbers, but I would love to know how well a game does on PC compared to its console and console counterparts. Because it could be a situation where, like, yeah, they're being developed on PC, but, like, they're being developed with Xbox and PlayStation 5 architecture in mind to make sure it sings on there because, oh, as good as it can be, because that's where the mainstream gaming audience is.
And the most people are going to play it there. Yeah.
And then it's like, now how do we make sure that the PC version can operate on all these different levels? I wonder if that's that is probably some part of it, but I wonder how much of it is these days by looking at the ratio of games sold on console to PC. But yeah, you are right in that case. Like, we're just hearing more about it as well. Which
yeah,
is a big
exactly.
thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like that's not an excuse in any way. It's like this, and like, you know, just the other side of this is the console versions of these games do not run well. Like, it's not like, oh, the PC port's broken. It's like, no, the game fundamentally has it tech issues. I haven't talked to a single person playing through this game that hasn't had pretty bad tech issues, and like they might be more okay with it. Like, I am more okay with it because of the quality of the game, but like, that is seeing past some like glaring flaws that like a game, a $70 title like this with this level of kind of prestige and production being put into it. Like, it is so unfortunate that these are the stories. Yeah. It's not like, oh man, this big multiplayer game came out, we should expect the servers to not work because X, Y, Z. It's like, this is a fucking single player game.
Yeah. And also like some level of it is down to the technology powering the game, because there's quite a few of the issues that it has that are common with Fallen Order. So it kind of like, you draw the conclusion that it's got to be something engine side as well that they're trying to wrangle. And then you think about the engine, is it the same one that they use for Titanfall? I think so. You know, like, they're kind of bending the technology.
Blessing was talking about that Andy told him. So we're talking about a couple, like, he said here, but that it's a different engine than Apex and Titanfall.
I mean, like, it could be something in that kind of like the tools that they're using that makes it trickier, because there are commonalities between Fallen Order, Survivor, and I was playing it. I was like, oh, this was annoying me in the previous game. It's weird that they didn't fix it. And developers not fixing something that is glaringly obvious very rarely happens, because like developers know everything that's wrong with a game way more than anyone else. They don't need to be told that kind of stuff. So there has to be some other thing behind it. But it's like you said, it's very interesting right now, because like at least on console, the game, how it's designed, how it plays, how it feels, the story pushes, the quality of it pushes past the problems it has. Like I play it and there's a bug, or like it's busted for frame rate drops, but that doesn't put me off it. I still want to come back to it and play more and see more of the story and that kind of stuff. So I think like earlier I saw some discussions about like, are we giving Jedi Survivor a pass when other games kind of like are like just raked through the coals because of it? And it's like, yes and no. We're kind of giving it a pass because the quality of the game itself is high enough, and its playability is still high enough that it allows us to kind of diminish or paper over that kind of thing.
Because see the ambition.
Yeah, on console. On PC, the kind of the issues that it has are so severe that it undermines the core experience.
I mean, I think that it depends on person to person. I feel like there's like, I think Blessing playing on console is having it's liking the game a lot less because of the technical issues.
Interesting.
And I think if they were gone, that he'd be enjoying the game a lot more than he currently is.
And I do think on console it is case by case, because I did not run into as many overall tech issues outside of frame rate as some of y'all have. Like I had one crash and that was really about it outside of frame rate, which I also haven't run into again since the Day Zero patch. But again, I think that's just going to be a weird case by case basis of, you know, I don't know how that all works in the back end of like the code downloaded incorrectly or whatever, but I don't know. I don't know how all that stuff works, but it's weird.
It just sucks because it doesn't seem like there's a solution to this, because this game had to come out. Like they couldn't have just like kept developing it forever, because there's money needs to be made and these things need to eventually ship, and there's so many checklists, and it's like, that's unfortunate, because that, like, who gets the bad end of the stick on that? All of us, you know. And like to what you're saying about giving it a pass, it's like, we're not giving it a pass. We're here on the show talking about how this is a problem.
It is a problem. Yeah.
And it's like, what's the solution though, I think is the bigger question. And again, I feel so bad for the team over at Respawn that, like you said, clearly know these are problems.
Yeah.
They don't want this to be the way, but it has to go out. And it's just so unfortunate that, like, that just kind of is what it is. And, like, what's the solution here?
Yeah. Did you make a Mandalorian reference on purpose there?
No, not on purpose. Not on purpose. What did I say?
They didn't want this to be the way.
Yeah. There we go. But, yeah, it's really unfortunate to see a team like Respawn specifically that we've seen the last couple of years just absolutely crush. Like, you know, on a level like we often talk about Insomniac as well. But you see Insomniac game launches and they're flawless.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I guess there was some Spider-Man PC stuff, but like even that, I feel like that wasn't Insomniac. That was a port team there.
Yeah. The hope now is that, I mean, like Respawn has indicated they are doing this, but like they stick with it until they clean that stuff up, you know? Because I don't know, like it's a game that we're going to end up talking about at the end of the year. Like it's already, for a lot of people, a game of the year contender. And it would be nice to get there and be like, this is, you know, if we recommend this today, everyone who we recommend it to and picks it up based on our kind of discussion over it will have an amazing, flawless experience.
Yeah.
Which
I do not think will be the case. Yeah. I do not think this game is ever going to play the way that it should.
I mean, like, Fallen Order still is a bit rough.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. So, unfortunate, man. But you know what's not unfortunate? Story number two, Twisted Metal gets its first trailer. This is a show coming to Peacock starring Anthony Mackie, baby. This story is from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. We're not going to watch the trailer because it's going to get us in trouble, because it's from Universal, and Universal hates when we react to things over here. Kind of funny. Peacock has released a first look teaser of the Twisted Metal TV series and revealed that all 10 episodes will premiere on July 27th, 2023. The comedy series, based on PlayStation's classic franchise, stars Anthony Mackie, with the teaser offering a first look at his fun, loving character. We see his pre-driving routine, but instead of checking his mirrors, Mackie loads up a shotgun. What doesn't change, however, is loading up a favorite playlist to dance along to, featuring the hit song Steal My Sunshine, that is about some darker things than you might think. You have to go listen to an old Kind of Funny podcast to find out about that. We then see him take off into the forest amidst raging fires and other general chaos before the title screen flashes up, and we see the newly imagined Twisted Metal logo. And then we see a little Sweet Tooth action in Las Vegas popping out of that ice cream truck. Tam,
yeah,
how excited could you possibly be?
I am excited because it looks both bad and good, which is what I want out of it. Like, it looks goofy as hell. Like, I described it as, like, the Sweet Tooth reveal looks like a Sweet Tooth cosplayer, which is, like, that's what I want out of it. It's perfect. Yeah, it's great. Like, Anthony Mackie, one thing is weird about it is Anthony Mackie looks so clean. Like, he looks so sharp. And I'm like, I don't believe you've been in this world for a long time at all. He's, like, pristine. And I'm like, okay, cool, mate.
Yeah, we got the poster for this yesterday, teasing that the trailer was going to drop, and the poster itself is fucking perfect. It looks so, so bad. You just see Anthony Mackie sitting there again, looking like he's not part of the world at all. No. Then you get the Twisted Metal homing missiles like popping above, and I'm like, yeah, how is this a real show? How is this actually happening? And how is it happening in 2023?
Yeah, he looks like he's photoshopped into every part of it.
Exactly. It's like every part of him is photoshopped differently as well. But I just can't believe that. I feel like with every year that passes, Twisted Metal just gets less and less relevant, right?
Yeah.
So for it to be here is just very bizarre to me. But I gotta say, I love Twisted Metal. I've loved Twisted Metal since day one. Twisted Metal Black was legitimately the coolest fucking thing ever. Mm. You being like 11-year-old boy and this video game saying, motherfucker, are you kidding me? Painted Black was playing. Everyone has these really dark stories. It's fucking awesome. And here we are over 15 years later getting a TV show with Anthony Mackie.
What is this tweet from Andy?
And he says, once again, I believe there was a multiversal timeline that collided with ours. And in that timeline, Twisted Metal is the most in-demand IP. The newest title recently crossed 16 million sold on PS5. The Pokemon Go-style mobile game has 180 million active users. Now there's a TV show. Twisted Metal is everywhere. Absolutely nailed it, Andy. And yeah, this is not an Andy Photoshop poster. This is the poster that they put out for this.
You know what? As long as they're having fun with it, that's what, like, if they're doing, oh, we want to do Fast and Furious meets Mad Max, and we've got Anthony Mackie and Samoa Joe, and we're just going to have fun for a little bit, and it's going to be goofy, popcorn, action movie flick, more power to you.
More power
to you. Or like series. It's the thing that freaks me out is it's a series.
It's a series, like, and they're dropping all the episodes at once. Yeah, that to me, I'm like, oh no.
So that's going
like,
to be
weird. Not that I necessarily want 10 weeks of Twisted Metal, but legitimately, I'm excited for this. Like, I'm a fan of this type of dumb shit. And I have been a fan of Twisted Metal for a long time, and I appreciate its goofiness that it has for the most part. And then once Twisted Metal Black came out, there's like this like edgelord grimdarkness to it that's so cringy that like if they do either of those tones, I think that there's fun to be had.
Yeah.
And looking at this trailer, just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm watching this thing, Tam.
You know what I'm excited for? So you're a TikTok user, right? Mm-hmm. I know you are because I send you TikToks all the time. So have you seen the one from Avengers where they're all sitting down looking at a TV briefing and then on the TV, people have spliced in the scene from 8 Mile where B-Rab Eminem is like doing the Papa Doc thing.
I've never seen it.
And then all of the Avengers turn to look at Falcon and he's like,
that's so fucking funny.
So I'm excited to see what scenes from that the series they put there instead
that's
of the
great.
Avengers one.
That's so good.
That TikTok is so good.
Good Lord, man. God, though. Here we go. Twisted Metal. So obviously, I don't think that we have too much faith in this, like, just from everything that we've seen. Having said that, the main showrunner is one of the main showrunners from Cobra Kai, which I love a lot.
Yeah.
Our friend Iffy is one of the writers on it. He's funny as hell.
Yeah.
Some of the cast looks fun. Like, I don't think this is going to be Last of Us. I don't think this is going to be Mario. But I think that there's a chance that it could be fun.
Yeah. It'll be, as long as it's if it gives me one interesting moment in each episode, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I feel like also like we're going to get a lot of more video games stuff now. Expect to see things that don't make sense suddenly having way more pomp and circumstance than you as a gamer know they should have.
Yeah.
Just because like between Sonic, Last of Us, and now Mario, like the floodgates are open. People like all industries are looking at all video games are the thing that we need to adapt now because they're doing gangbusters.
Yeah, man, it's working. You know what else works? patreon.com/kindoffunny. We appreciate all your support over there, and because of that support, you get the show ad free. But for everyone else, here's a word from our sponsors. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as the Honey guy dances. It searches for coupons it can find for the site. And if it finds a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. We hear it kind of funny. You've been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to set, forget, and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops. It also works on your iPhone. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, save on the go. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kind of Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with story number three, an absolute fucking bullshit story. Vice is shutting down Waypoint. This comes from Marie D'Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. Vice is shutting down its games publication, Waypoint. The news came via Twitter from senior writer Patrick Klepek. Quote, the team, myself included, have been terminated by Vice, and our final day running the website, the podcast, and streams will come to an end on June 2nd. Waypoint's official Twitter account confirmed the information soon after, saying, quote, Waypoint should have ended a long time. Sorry, that's not what they said. Klepek said, Waypoint should have ended a long time ago. We've always been an extremely weird website. Our podcast sign-off is fuck capitalism, go home after all. But we survived six long years. That's a goddamn eternity in media. We tried to hold on as long as we could. Waypoint Plus was a godsend, and to all the fans of Waypoint that showed up on day one, know that your contributions in spirit and money were a huge reason we weren't laid off sooner. You, alongside my talented colleagues now and over the years, made waking up every day a joy. The publication was launched by Vice in 2016 as an evolution of its Vice Gaming section, and more recently launched premium subscription offering Waypoint Plus. Multiple editorial staff were laid off at Vice late last year.
Rough.
Continues, man.
It's getting hard out here, man.
It's getting harder and harder. It just sucks that like every week we're getting more of these stories, whether it's the game development side, whether it's the games media side. And to look at games media in particular, and to look at groups like Waypoint that were doing such important, unique work in the space is such a, like, it's just sad, man.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out. Like, I don't know, but I do know what the thing is. But, like, the scale that it needs, that traditional websites need to operate at, and the money that they need to make for their parent companies feels so unattainable now that this stuff is like, it just doesn't work with simple ad supported things. And even like a, you know, a plus service that like a Waypoint had is only getting you some of the way there. It's sad, but like it's starting to feel like we're going to get less and less like interesting, unique, authoritative and like kind of organized voices in the same way that Waypoint and like various other publications around games are. Like we always have been, and we're moving more into the idea of person behind camera talking to you. And there is a lot of value in that. I'm one of those people. I do it on Twitch. I do it on YouTube. But also there is something to be said for a kind of team of people that have these kind of like, they have a kind of journalistic or editorial background, like underpinning their work and what that can provide. I'm not saying that people on YouTube and Twitch can't do it, but there's something to be said for a team of people that can do it and is willing to use their connections within the industry to go out and investigate and put these stories out there, or even cover games in an interesting way beyond the kind of the churn of needing to be there day one, YouTube, have some sort of spicy opinion, make your soy face in the thumbnail kind of approach to it. And in doing that stuff, Waypoint was one of the best. Like it was a group of people that loved games, loved talking about games, loved analyzing them and kind of like presenting them to an audience in a way that is exciting or lets them understand the art and the business of games in a more kind of like nuanced way. And to lose one of those means we're that much closer to losing all of them, which is the sad part of it. But yeah, it sucks, man. Those are some good people. A lot of good people. And I don't know, like, I hope they bounce back in some fashion. Like, yeah. I would love to see them do a Patreon, but at the same time, I don't want to present Patreon as the kind of like, oh, just do a Patreon, because that's hard. Like, it's not,
it gets harder and harder as more and more people are needing to launch Patreons and launch different like group projects or solo projects or whatever it is. Like, like you're saying, like, we're getting to a point that it's like, who's left? Like, I feel like we could probably count on two hands the like big games media outlets out there. And like, using big, I think, is even like a weird word at this point, right?
Like, I think it's interesting because I started to see more developers tweeting about it. And that's something that's become more prevalent recently. And I've had conversations with developers who are like actually saying it now, where it's like, yeah, criticism and like games media websites like that are important to the business and the industry and the medium and the kind of culture of games. And they can, in a lot of ways, I'm not saying this to, you know, gas us up or myself up as a member of the media, but like, they're important to the kind of like the evolution of games in a lot of ways. Like, you know, you get developers like looking at reviews or discussions around it, and it informs the way they think about, you know, business, PR, design, coding, whatever it may be. Like, there's interesting perspectives that can come from this back and forth conversation between the creators of the medium and the people who have spent a lot of time analyzing and dissecting it. And that conversation is like symbiotic. And if you're losing that in a way that makes it accessible to them, it kind of, I think, has a knock-on effect on the industry as a whole, as opposed to just being like, oh, these people who have spent all their lives playing games and writing about them are losing their job. There is a bigger implication that a lot of people who are reading these stories perhaps don't understand. Like, losing a voice, those voices, the Waypoint voices, to me, is a negative on this industry. Yeah. And it sucks that it is that way, and it sucks that it almost feels inevitable.
100%.
Yeah, I just want to shout out the Waypoint podcast. It's one of the few podcasts that I would actually try to keep up with as much as I could, because again, yeah, there was Rob Zachney, Patrick Klepek, Kato, and Ren together had such a great vibe and brought in so many different perspectives that I wouldn't even know or understand about. And I learned a lot from them while also, you know, hearing them have plenty of goofs and be silly and all that stuff. And it just, it hurts to see this. And I just want to, you know, give the love out to all of them and the rest of the crew over there, because y'all were fucking killer. And I hope y'all can still find a voice in this industry after this.
Yeah, and I said it before, like, I hope that when Waypoint comes to an end, that they confidently can step away knowing that they did amazing work and can be proud of it. Like, everything that could be against them was, and in the face of that, and it is for all of publications, in the face of that, they produced some of the most compelling, interesting work around in the industry. So they should be proud.
Yeah. And, you know, every time there's a story, we always have to say, like, your support on Patreon goes such a long way for groups like us, but not just us. Go support MinMax. Go support Easy Allies. Go support people like Daniel Dwyer with NoClip. Like, these are projects that are made by teams of people that are allowed to do this because they are supported by people that want that type of content. So Patreon can be incredibly, incredibly valuable and a great way to support people and help to ensure that there are more than a handful of games media companies left. Story number four, Sony looks to break records by selling more PlayStation consoles than ever before this year. Dang. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Sony has high hopes for PS5 in the current financial year as it aims to break PlayStation records by selling 25 million units. It sucks that this doesn't translate to games media having more money and being more vibrant, right?
It's a heartbreaking juxtaposition, right? Where you see, oh, the games industry is $1 billion, but it's bigger than anything else in the world, and then a corner of it is just like just crumbling under the weight of, like, ugh, it's just frustrating.
It's hard, man. It's like you need to find that value. It has to be worth it, and there needs to be a vision. There needs to be flexibility. There needs to be the ability to pivot to do what is needed at the time, not just what we're doing and what we're comfortable with and all this. And it's like doing all that is very, 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 very difficult.
Yeah.
And when you're not able to be nimble and make those decisions and there are people telling you things that are against the things that you know you need to do.
Yeah. Rough.
It's very rough.
But good on Sony for selling 1 trillion PlayStations or whatever. 1 bazillion
PlayStations.
Good on those people.
The company briefly mentioned its goals for next year during its latest earnings report, where it revealed the PS5 had now sold more than 38 million units thanks to its best year on the market so far. The 19.1 million units it sold in the financial year 22-23 weren't enough, though. Quote, we aim to continuously accelerate penetration of PS5 and aim for PS5's... I'm such a fucking immature baby. I'm sorry, y'all. For PS5 selling units for the current fiscal year to be 25 million units, the highest ever for any PlayStation console in history. It would certainly be an impressive figure because, as mentioned, no PlayStation console in history sold as many units in a single year, not even the PlayStation 2, which is the best-selling console of all time with 159 million units sold. The PS5 certainly trending towards an incredibly strong year as its sales figures grew significantly as component shortages that plagued the video game industry waned. Sony recorded 7.1 million and 6.3 million sales in quarters 3 and 4, compared to the 2.4 and 3.3 recorded in the two before that. Wowzers, Tam.
Yes.
Wow-y. These are insane numbers, and we can only expect them to keep going up. When we look at this, we're talking year over year doubling from the early days of the PS5, which makes sense with everything they're talking about in terms of the shortages and in terms of the state of the world, but also in terms of the library and offering of exclusives on PS5. We're now at a point that we're deep enough into this life cycle. They're getting a PS5. You're getting a handful of exclusive experiences that you know are like the top tier stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what's really fascinating and interesting is, like, it's hitting those numbers having also gone through COVID and the availability shortages. Like, most people were under the impression, like, this generation is going to be, like, much harder to move units than any other because the worst possible scenarios for these hardware manufacturers have happened. Like, people aren't out and about anymore. They're at home. And also, like, they're hardly available. Obviously, like, being home also means that, like, you want to buy this stuff. But, like, the availability was the problem on that end. It was like, you can't get this thing. And we were like, okay, cool. It's going to limit how much surely they won't be as huge selling as they were. But it isn't. Like, it definitely is. And it's, like, surprising. It feels like, you know, it's just been like building up, and now that people can buy it and kind of access it easily, they're just like buying it in droves. The interesting thing also on top of that is, like, we still haven't had a hardware revision, and that is traditionally always been a kind of a booster to sales.
Yeah.
And it, like, rejuvenates the entire platform, and Sony always does a hardware revision. That is highly likely we'll get a PS5 that is revised hardware wise, a Slim or something like that. And so when they say like, oh, we want to go higher next year, there's a decent chance of that happening.
Oh yeah.
Very, very high.
I mean, I think it's a guarantee, like, yeah, unless some crazy shit happens again. Yeah. But I think that with where we're at right now, like having Ragnarok just come out and being as good as it was, riding the train of like now PlayStation putting out these premium DLC projects that we saw with like Ghost of Tsushima Legends and now Horizon
Burning Shores,
that coming out, PSVR 2 being another thing that people, if they want, they can interact with the PS5 in a different way. And then this pipeline we have right here of all the third-party games we know about, the exclusivity of Final Fantasy 16 in June, Spider-Man fucking 2 coming later this year.
Wolverine, like, probably next year.
Exactly. It's like that. And whatever we get at the showcase in May, that's really going to paint a picture about like, hey, if y'all don't have PS5, here's why you need one now.
Yeah. Also like Final Fantasy and... The reason, like, and it's also like it feeds into the overall machine that Sony has now, and that's why we get things like remakes, like the Last of Us remake. We were all like, why are they doing that? And now you see, oh, it's because the HBO show is out, and like, it's huge. So when anyone with an interest in it goes, how do I play these games that it's based on? They don't have to buy an old console, find an old version of a game. They just buy the latest console, buy the latest version of the game, and they're happy. That's it. So, like, smartly, Sony has almost, like, seen ahead long enough to know that, oh, we need to make these moves to make sure by the time we get there and this project is available, we'll have a kind of, like, an ecosystem where we'll be making more console sales and getting more money. And I think that's going to continue to be the case. Like, come next year when, you know, another Spider-Man game is out, like, you best believe there's going to be like wild high-ends and stuff like that that make people want to go, oh, okay, I'm going to buy this new console, it's worth it.
So a little jump off conversation point here, PlayStation the rest of this year, we know that the things we just talked about, the Final Fantasy 16 deals and things like that, then we have Spider-Man. Do you think we get another big Sony title this year?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, what do you think? So.
I'm not sure what it would be, but I am just thinking about, like, actually, maybe not, because, like, there's a the way I was thinking is, like, there's a lot of third-party games that are still yet to be announced that will probably carry a lot of the weight for the rest of the year, and Sony has enough in its kind of current landscape of games that it could just, like, fresh a lot of that stuff in marketing and PR and that kind of stuff, and do pretty well based off it. Like Horizon 2 still needs a kind of, it can get a lift because, you know, it came and went and the DLC helps, but like complete edition later on down the year, cool, that's it.
Something like that.
Bundle Last of Us 1 and 2 together to be like HBO edition or something like that. I feel like they can get away with that pretty easily. But I think that also Sony is kind of on the front foot in a lot of ways. It feels like they're in attack mode. They're like pressing an advantage. I'm not pitting one console against another. I'm just talking about like
their own strategy.
Yeah, them versus themselves. Like they feel like they're on the front foot. So let's really drive that success home. And I think that you can do that by having one like last trump card for the rest of the year, and then be like, this game is coming this year and it's going to be huge. And then you finish that year strong and go into the next year with that kind of good momentum, and it carries you through that year as well, a fair way. Yeah,
that's where I'm at too.
Maybe one more.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man's the big one. I can see a small thing like a Horizon completion, something like that, like something small, sure. But like, I think Spider-Man will be the one and only major big PlayStation Studios release this year. I don't think that that's bad at all. There's already so much to play, and there's so many third-party games coming out that are going to be incredible. But I think that that positions them for next year to be wild. But what's a little interesting about that, though, is then is the May showcase going to focus on mainly games that are 2024? Possibly. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing when Spider-Man 2 is kind of the focal point. You got to imagine, at least.
I think the other thing is I feel like what will happen at the showcase is we'll see more third-party games that are aligning themselves closer with PlayStation 5. So a lot of the, you know, not exclusives, but like, hey, where, you know, this is the lead platform. It's going to have XYZ on here compared to other platforms. And I think that will do a lot in the hearts and minds, kind of like, and also the optics of the consoles and which one to go for towards the end of the year. So I think they're going to finish strong. Whether it's a brand new title, not 100% sure on it, but if I was in their position and they had something like cooking that was that could go in that time, I would push for it.
You know, I think that there's some potentially really cool things that I don't think are like the biggest megaton stuff, but like Astro Bot.
Yeah.
What's Team Asobi been up to? And I feel like that could be something they're like, oh yeah, there's a game and it's coming out in November.
Yeah. I mean, like that kind of small, or even like another remake. Like, I feel that it's not a play. It doesn't have to be a PlayStation Studios style thing. You know, it could be if they put out another remake on the quality level of Demon's Souls remake with a Blue Point or something like that, that could be massive. Like, if they put out a massive, like, oh, we've done a full, I'm just going to spitball, Twisted Metal remake.
Yep.
Like, it's
dude, yeah. We didn't even talk about Twisted Metal, like, the game with that story. I wanted to ask, like, we've heard rumors, we've seen a lot of, like, rumblings about this. Do you think we're getting Twisted Metal, and if so, when?
Do I think we're going to get Twisted Metal? I want to say yes, just because it is absolutely wild, like Andy pointed out, that we are in a world where Twisted Metal exists just as a TV show on its own, off the strength of just an old IP. So that makes me think, oh, they're going to put something out. But I'm not, if I was a betting man, I'd say probably not, but I don't know if that kind of like, I think it'll be the other way around, where if that show pops off, we get another game, as opposed to like the game is coming and now the show is, you know, kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see if our metal will be twisted. Story number 5, Microsoft signs another 10-year deal to bring Xbox games to more cloud gaming platforms. It continues, everyone. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Microsoft signed another 10-year deal to bring more cloud gaming platforms, despite the Competition and Markets Authority blocking its Activision Blizzard deal earlier this week. As reported by Eurogamer, Microsoft vice chair and president said on Twitter that the company has signed a deal with Noire to bring Xbox-built games to its platform alongside Activision Blizzard titles after the acquisition closes. Smith showed no sign that Microsoft is deterred by the CMA's decision to block the Activision Blizzard deal from going through, despite it coming as a result of cloud gaming concerns. Microsoft is appealing the decision, of course, but this will be a long and likely challenging process. Microsoft and European cloud gaming platform Noire have signed a 10-year deal agreement to stream PC games built by Xbox on its platform, as well as Activision Blizzard titles after the acquisition closes. While it's still early for the emerging cloud segment in gaming, this new partnership, combined with our other recent commitments, will make more popular games available on more cloud gaming streaming services than they are today. Microsoft signed a similar deal to bring Xbox games, again, including Activision Blizzard titles like Call of Duty, if the deal goes through, to Nintendo platforms in February, alleviating some of CMA's concern that it would make these games exclusive to its own platforms. It also signed deals with other cloud gaming platforms, including Ubisoft, Boosteroid, and more.
Very excited.
What silly fucking shit is this? I love them. They're just like, we're on fucking Quibi. We're on fucking, you know, like, get on the shit.
See us on Blue Sky or whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think, like, as part of a strategy, this makes a lot of sense. As part of a kind of, like, hearts and minds, we're not evil. We're just trying to buy one of the biggest video game publishers in the world and become the biggest video game publisher and develop in the world. And the whole, like, one of the key strategies that they have been, or the concerns that some people, especially Sony, have had is, like, that will put them in a market position where they could deny, you know, our audience a major, major game, like, series like Call of Duty, or put some sort of, like, restrictions on it in the way that they can access it. So Microsoft's whole thing has been trying to convince people that they're not going to do that. They're trying to convince people, like, they're going to still benevolently make Call of Duty available to everyone. You know, there's some very quietly whispered, like, for 10 years or like something like that. And the way you do that is, like, they talked about, oh, we're partnering with Nintendo, we're still chanting Nintendo, and, like, what is more convincing than we have signed a cloud gaming deal, so we're going to bring Call of Duty to anyone with a mobile phone. Like, that is, like, I feel like a court looks at it and goes, like, okay, there's no intention here to lock it off.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, it's a sneaky tactic.
Oh, yeah,
sure. Yeah, but, like, if it works, it works. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's interesting because I still don't care about playing big games on my phone. Like, I don't know if anyone ever will be, but more power to you if you are.
I think there's a use case for it, and I think that there, you know, there's a ton of people that if the options were they don't have a console or they play it that way, I think that makes sense, and especially when you think of kids, right?
Yeah. I was talking to a grub about this morning, and I think the next evolutionary step, or the thing that will really, like, make it click into place, make that kind of bridge between us, is when someone figures out how to get a cloud game onto a mobile phone, but then take that and kind of stream it out to a large TV mm-hmm. that you have. And so you can switch it, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the next thing where...
We're so close.
Yeah, yeah. We're almost there, yeah. And, like, all we got to do is, like, make sure latency is better and, like, Bluetooth-enabled TVs and that kind of stuff so you can connect a controller or whatever. But I feel like that's the thing where this thing, cloud, makes your phone become the console that others have. Because you can sit down and play on a big screen TV and have the kind of like a cinematic experience that you want, but you don't have a console to do it. And that's what I think that's will be what propels cloud gaming forward. But yeah, who knows when we'll get there.
Who knows? Story number six, Vampire Survivors is getting adapted to TV, Tam.
Yeah.
This comes from Denise Petke at Deadline.
Yeah.
The viral gaming sensation Vampire Survivors is in the works for TV. Story Kitchen is partnering with the game's developer, Ponkle founder Luca Galante, to adapt the comedic gothic horror video game into a premium animated television series. In the game, described as Vox Machina meets Castlevania, players control an automatically attacking character while fighting against continuous waves of monsters, with the goal being to survive the onslaught for as long as possible. The game is set in 2021 in rural Italy. There lived an evil person named Visconti Draculo, whose many evil magics created a bad world filled with famine and suffering. It's now up to the members of the Belpasse family to end his reign of terror and return good food to the table. Reads the official description.
Why does this feel like a What We Do in the Shadows like type of spinoff vibe, which yeah. I'm down for?
A search is underway for a writer. The project will be shopped to animated TV network buyers. Something tells me this one's not going to see the light of day.
I'm the opposite way.
Oh, yeah?
I think that it, I feel like it's... Firstly, I have played Vampire Survivors for countless hours.
Uh-huh.
I could never tell you that was what the game's
yeah.
about. That I swear they made that up for this press release. I know there is a story because Stephanie Sterling works on it and writes for stuff like that. But you could not get that information out of me. Like,
yeah.
No way. I did not know that. But yeah, I feel like this is like the... It's got enough breathing room and room for expression and creativity that a studio could come along and be like, oh, we can make a fun, like, comedic vampire animated series. Obviously, it will have no vampires in it because Vampire Survivors doesn't have any vampires in it. But, like, I feel like there's... I feel more confident in it. I'm not saying it will happen, but I feel more confident in it materializing than if it was, like, if they were trying to do Mario. Like, if it was Mario, I'd be like, no, it's not happening. Because there's too much like uphill struggles there. Whereas because there's less hurdles to clear with Vampire Survivors, it's more likely to me.
Yeah. We'll see, man. There's a lot of money out there. And we see a lot of the streamer platforms like just throwing stuff around. Mm. And there's an IP here. There's an interest in Vampire Survivors. Is it enough to sell an animated show to Netflix?
I'm
going to lean towards no right now, but but we'll see. We'll see. Story number seven to close out the news of the day. LEGO has announced 4 Donkey Kong expansion sets. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. The LEGO Group has announced plans to release 4 Donkey Kong expansion sets this summer. And Donkey is a big old guy. They'll feature DK, Cranky Kong, Diddy Kong, Funky Kong, and Dixie Kong. The sets of new characters can also interact with the existing Lego Mario, Luigi, and Peach figures. Donkey Kong's Treehouse expansion exists. Donkey Kong's Minecart Ride expansion. There's a 174-piece Dixie Kong's Jungle Jam expansion and Rambi the Rhino expansion. So, pretty cool.
Square Donkey Kong is a jump scare I was not ready for today.
Yeah.
Impressive. Funky Kong in Lego form, I might have to partake.
Sign me up, man. It's really weird with these Nintendo Lego crossovers where it's like kind of a dream come true for me where yeah. I'm like, oh my god, this is perfect. But then I don't like that they are like, I just want them to be little Lego figures. You yeah. know what I mean? I don't yeah. want these like, they're big and it's like, it feels yeah. like Mega Bloks knockoff shit.
Yeah.
Me. And
yeah.
I get that I'm just being a boomer, like fucking talking my shit about like, I want my toys to be more like my toys. But it's true, I do. You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
I like the...
My toys, baby.
The thing is, like, and again, like, who's buying this to play with it?
I mean, I'm going to assume children, Cam.
Yeah, but, like, do children know Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
They do. I just watched this movie called the Super Mario Brothers movie, Cam. These little kids are fucking losing their shit.
But do they know...
Do they know, like, Funky Kong and Rambi? And, like, that's where I'm like, I don't know about that.
I'll ask Alyssa. She knows, you know.
But like the point I was going to make is like, this is a lot of people are probably buying this stuff to display and be like, I've got this thing. And like, as a display piece, I think these are pretty ugly. Like, I like the Diddy in the minecart. Like, that is something I would buy and put like, so people can look at. I'm not putting Funky Kong anywhere where anyone can see it. That is like closing doors for me. Like, see, women are leaving my apartment when they see that.
I think we're a little off on this, and because the complaints I have with it are, I want the more traditional Legos. I want the more like display thing. Whereas I do think that there's a fun functionality to the Nintendo design Legos, where I do think kids are playing with these. Like, I think that they're interacting with them in a more actual like playing with the sets way, as opposed to Legos traditionally are more like you build it once, then you break it, and those parts get added to the whole. But yeah, Sonic has been doing similar things as well. But yeah, like the Mario, there's a question block and then it opens up and like each of the different laps is a different like diorama of one of the Mario 64 levels. Yeah. And I'm like, this is a fucking dream come true.
It's awesome.
Except it's not. Like, I just want the dioramas. Like, I just want like it to be like cool, super nice little mini versions of the Mario 64 levels. I don't need it to be in this weird like question block thing. Yeah. I don't know, man. But again, I'm happy they're doing them. I just wish that they were a little more traditional.
Yeah.
Tam, if Nintendo were to ever release more traditional Legos, I'd be very happy. But that seems like it might be so far away. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we got a whole bunch of stuff. Monster Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak on everything. Star Wars Jedi Survivor on PS5, Series X and S, and PC. Minabo, A Walk Through Life on everything. Corn Sweeper on mobile. Ew. The Companion on Switch. Dragonoka on PS4. Jimotombe on everything. Nuclear Blaze on PS4. And Welcome to Goodland on PC. New dates for you. Grindstone gets an Xbox version on May 3rd. That's pretty cool.
Banger.
That game is awesome. Stuntfest Rivals got renamed to Jected Rivals. Jected. J-E-C-T-E-D.
Is that a word? I don't think that's...
I don't know.
I feel like they're trying to do a play like on Rejected, but they're Jected. But
Ejected?
Yeah. Oh, Ejected.
Yeah.
Ejected. I got it. I got it.
Weird.
Front Mission 2 remakes coming June 12th for Switch. Let's go to your
Was that the game that Austin was talking about yesterday that he was really looking forward to? Was Front Mission, or was that a different conversation we had earlier in the week? Let me know.
Kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. There's only one thing Bander SN writes in to say: Jedi Fallen Order and Survivor are both Unreal 4 games. Cool. Good to know. Very, very good to know. Thank you guys for hanging out with us this beautiful week on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thanks for celebrating Greg's birthday with us. Have a great day playing Jedi Survivor. If you are still waiting to get Jedi Survivor, I still ask you to get hyped by watching Barrett Courtney's amazing video essay breakdown of why Jedi Fallen Order is so special to him. It's a great refresher on the first game, and it's a great thing to get hyped getting into Survivor that I'm sure many people are going to be playing this weekend. Tam? I'm thrilled to have you back here. I'm excited that next week we're getting. Can we talk about?
Yeah, stuff? Unless something goes very wrong, we'll see.
What's happening?
I'll be there. I'll be on Kind of Funny Podcast, Kev.
Kind of Funny Podcast. Yeah.
First time.
Your first time. That's exciting.
Debut.
And then Lucy is going to be on Games Daily.
We're going to be talking about some of the things that GameSpot is up to next week. We're excited. We've got some stuff that we're going to reveal here. So it'll be fun.
Really cool stuff. A lot of fun to be had there.
Remember to GameStop.
Finally. I won't say who, but someone in our company that works at GameSpot said GameStop the other day, and I was like,
just tell me it was
10
Jordan.
Years
just,
ISO cubes
just say
for
it was
you.
Jordan Ramey.
It was someone senior. Like, I was like, jail for you.
Straight to jail. Remember, we're trying something new with YouTube Super Chats on Games Daily right after this during the live stream. Just a moment. Snowbike Mike's going to come join us and read your Super Chats about all the stories we covered in the show if you want us to get a little deeper. If there's any video game questions you want to ask us or just anything you want to ask Tam, he has secrets in there. If you want to ask him for some secrets, you got a Super Chat. He'll spill the beans, okay?
I'll tell you.
Maybe. Maybe. No promises. But anyways, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games and Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. We run you through all the video game news you need to know. We love you. We appreciate you. And until next time, Game Daily.
Good shake.